So I've been working on this painting, like, you know, a big-ish painting. And sometimes during the course of a painting, I have to do studies and stuff and other pieces of art within a painting. And I did a little study on Sunday, so a couple days ago, and it was very quick. Like I set up this sort of still life. Like in the painting, there's a kid with a dive helmet on, and I have a dive helmet. And so I set it up outside on this on these rocks, whatever, because in the painting there's a kid with the dive helmet sitting on a rock, whatever. And I needed to figure out the lighting on the helmet versus the lighting on the rock. How do they differ? How, whatever. So I set it up outside, just kind of real quick. I sat out there and I brought some watercolor stuff and I just painted it really quick. And I ended up, I like that better than my painting. It, in the way that I painted it, it's so much more loose and free, and I just like it better. So that's one thing that I'm working on. That's sort of a side note, but anyway, I recorded the process of painting it. I had my wife record me as well, and so I took that and I made a reel, and I posted the reel or the little video on YouTube and TikTok and Instagram. And then I had also made a reel like the day before from the gallery, just like this real quick footage or whatever. And I'm spending, I had spent, you know, it takes time to upload the stuff and post it. And so for the last few days, it's been like, I don't know, because you have to spend time reviewing the footage, cutting the footage, making a video, and then uploading it to these different platforms, making sure you fill out the descriptions and all that stuff. And then it was like 2 days in a row, and then you're checking to see how it does and whatever across three different platforms, and you're checking analytics and then trying to figure out, you know, what to do with it. And my head is just stuck in social media brain. And it's not even like, it's not, I wouldn't even call it a toxic social media because I'm actually making content. I'm actually putting it out there. Like, I'm working on my own stuff, stuff that I want to do. It is fun making videos, and I like, you know, people I'm interacting with. There hasn't been any real toxic feeling to it other than it just sort of takes over. It's very, you become kind of obsessive about it. I mean, of course, it hasn't felt all that negative, but I don't know. It's just been, it just like latches onto your brain, and it's difficult to let go and to start doing the slower activities in life, like, you know, getting back to an actual painting and, you know, thinking and slowing down. And I don't know. I just kind of wanted to talk about that because I know you've dealt with this with all the music theory stuff.
Yeah, the past about week, I talked about last week how I was feeling a lot better. I kind of had a bit of a breakthrough by playing video games. Started feeling good, and I've been on a pretty good streak ever since of feeling nice. I, looking back and thinking about what I've been doing in that past week plus, really what it is that I stopped using my phone, and that's really it. Sometimes I forget that that's really the only thing that matters to my, well, okay, I'm being a little bit over the top, but it seems to be the largest factor in terms of affecting my focus and contentment and ability to sit quietly and do a thing like that. Is just have I separated myself from my phone and to some extent my computer and the internet browser and everything to where my brain can throttle down and be comfortable at that level. And that's really the main factor. And it doesn't really matter what the reason is. You post stuff on social media and it's, you know, you're supposed to. It's part of your job or your, you know, personal endeavor to grow your art. You kind of have to. It's good. It's good for you. It's what you should do. But it doesn't matter because you still are, and you're still playing this metagame of life where you are, one, just going through all the hassle of doing that, but then you are pulling the lever on the slot machine. Like, you're in the casino, you're gambling, you're hoping that it's going to do really well. You got to check yeah. to see if you're getting rewarded. I mean, it's not you. It's just that's the game. That's what it is.
Yeah. Like, if you're in a casino and you pull the lever, you know, on the slot machine, there's no way that right. you can think about anything else until the right. things stop moving. Like, you have to know if yeah. you won or not. Yeah.
And it doesn't matter why you pulled the lever. It doesn't matter if you're addicted to gambling or if it's your job to go pull that lever. You pull the lever. And your brain gets into that loop. It just does. And I don't know what the answer is, but that just seems to be the expected side effect of doing that.
Well, it's funny that you say that the easiest solution or whatever is literally just not being on the phone. Because, you know, I will also check things on the computer, whatever, but it doesn't feel half as bad as the phone. And I read this while I was on my phone looking at social media stuff. I came across some meme or something about someone saying, wake up in the morning, look at little screen, spend all day looking at medium screen, go home and relax on big screen. It's like that's their whole life, or everyone's whole life now. And I was thinking about that. And I mean, of course, it's kind of true or whatever. You wake up in the morning, you look at the phone, or at some point, and then you go to work, you stare at two medium screens, and then you come home and you might relax watching TV. And then I was thinking, why do we relax more when we're watching TV? I mean, we've all sat there and doom scrolled on our phones mm-hmm. for hours, but everyone feels awful after doing that. Like, you never feel, wow, that was great. That felt great. No, you feel horrible afterwards. Yeah. But you can sit in front of a TV and watch a great movie and afterwards feel pretty good. I mean, like, it's good.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
I was thinking about, why do we have different, like, you have YouTube. I assume, though I don't know, that you also have Instagram and all the other platforms available on the TV, I think. I think they're available as apps, right?
Well, I mean, I feel like you're kind of answering your own question there. Like, if you're not sure, you definitely don't use them,
I don't know.
Right?
No one watches TikTok and Instagram on their TV, right? Like, that's dumb. One, probably because the user interface is just not as instant. Like, you literally have to find the letters to type anything in on a TV, which sucks. So there's that, which I'm sure is a big factor. But it just doesn't feel right. And so I was sitting in front of my TV, and I grab my phone, I sit down, and I hold up the phone, you know, about the distance that I normally hold my phone at in front of me, and I hold it up to the TV, and it's the exact same size.
Yeah.
You know, so I have this big TV on the wall across the room, hold up my phone, and it's exactly the same size. I mean, in perspective, whatever, as a flat image, they are the same size, even though my TV is much bigger than my phone. And I was thinking about the feeling of looking at your phone, scrolling through stuff, and then watching something on TV. Mm-hmm. And it's much more relaxing to look at a TV, to look in the distance and see this thing, rather than have it right in front of your face. When it's right in front of your face on your phone, it just sucks, like, all of the focus, everything, right into this little area. And we've talked about that, like, the personal space, like, how connected we are to things in our actual personal space. But maybe this isn't as interesting as I found it, but
no, I think there's something really important here that's really subtle.
I don't know what it is or
well
what, yeah, but I just noticed that there was this very different feeling of when you think of sitting down watching something on TV, forget about the subject matter. It's more relaxing to your eyes. Like, it just actually feels more low key and relaxed than staring at this tiny screen in your hand. So,
I have my own feelings, but I mean, do you think it is literally the distance, like the actual focal length of your eyes? That is,
I think it definitely has something to do with it. Because you feel much more inclined to like be able to walk away from a TV, you know, walk into your kitchen or whatever, mm-hmm. and it can go into the background. It's something you can leave. Whereas a phone, you know it's going to follow you everywhere. Yeah. It's going to come with you. It's going to stay right by your side. I don't know. Or like with the phone, if you're going to go do something else, you have to turn it off completely. You know, you have to hit a hold button or something. I don't know. It was just something that I noticed.
Yeah.
I know it's affecting me with all of this, you know, posting stuff and everything. I mean, I'm spending time on the phone dealing with all this stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, Instagram's very adamant that you can't do a lot on the desktop. So you have to do it through the phone. And right. So I'm spending more time on the phone dealing with these things. And it's just, it's definitely affecting my brain.
I wonder, I don't know how you would ever know, but I wonder if the actual like physical focal distance is making a difference or is part of it. Like we've talked about that. That's something that has been, are you okay?
I just choked on some wine. I'm fine.
Okay. If you've had enough, if you can't drink it anymore,
I'm fine.
All right. I wonder if that is part of it. Like just the actual focal distance of your eyes. I mean, you notice that if things that are far away, like looking out, you know, over a river or something, like tends to be relaxing. Anything that, you know, like if you just zone out, you naturally focus your eyes on a distant point and kind of have this diffuse focus. So I wonder if that is part of it. But my sort of counter argument to that is that I think it's much more to do with the interaction that you get with a phone versus a television. And that, think about when you sit down to watch YouTube, it's a very engaging, stimulating experience, right? Compare that to when someone else wants you to sit there and watch whatever they want you to watch on YouTube. Think about how unstimulating that experience is. I mean, you are counting down the seconds until the video ends, and God forbid they don't tell you how long it is. And then you just have this moment of dread, like maybe you're going to be there for the rest of your life watching some awful thing. There's something.
Saying, oh, that's cool. Yeah, that's really cool. Hoping that that's enough and they'll shut it off.
Yeah, but usually the type of person who makes you watch a YouTube video is not super in tune with social cues. And so you're just stuck there until the bitter end. And it's the worst. There's something about.
Sure I never send you another YouTube video.
No. You can send it to me. That's fine. What you can't do is sit me down and make me watch it with you. Yeah. That's not fine. That's just anyone who does that. You can't do that. That's not allowed. People haven't told you to your face because they're being polite. Don't do that. But here's another example thought experiment. So I no longer do this. I just don't use my phone in bed, but I used to all the time, and I would notice this huge difference mentally where I used to watch StarCraft tournaments because I'm that type of nerd. And sometimes I would be watching a live event of some tournament being played out. And I'm watching this in bed and it would keep me up. Like it's very exciting. It would just keep me awake. Other times I would watch a replay of an event that happened before. And psychologically, that was a totally different experience where I would often just get tired and fall asleep if I was watching the replay. And I think the difference is that with the live event, you can participate in chat and interact with people. And even if I didn't, there's still this possibility of me typing things or saying stuff, making comments inside of the Twitch stream. And that interaction is what is very stimulating and like really gets your mind going, even just the possibility of that interaction. Whereas if it's totally passive and you know that this is just a replay, I can't do anything. I can't type something in chat because it's a replay. Then that part of it just kind of goes away and my mind is much, much more relaxed and I'm not getting that constant stimulation. So on your phone, even if you're just watching a show or a movie, you you're one or two gestures away from being on Instagram or texting somebody, or at any second there could be a notification that pops up that you start to get right. distracted by. Even if it doesn't happen, there's still that possibility right there. And I think psychologically that feels very different. Like you said, there's probably an Instagram app on your TV, but what are you going to do? Like navigate around with your remote and type things in or talk to the stupid voice control thing? No, you're just, it's clunky. It's not easily accessible. It just doesn't really feel like you can access that. And so it becomes just this totally passive thing where it's just on and you're just watching and it, you don't have that possibility of interaction.
Yeah, totally fair. That, or that, I'm not even making an argument, so it's not yeah. like, yeah, that's a fair argument. Yeah, I agree. And it's not like a big statement I'm trying to make.
No. It's just, obviously the screens are inescapable. You know, it'd be cool if we could all just go live on a mountain and eat berries and whatever, but mm-hmm. we can't. We have screens around us. We are connected to the internet. And there's a lot of things that are actually great about that, but trying to figure out how to navigate it and to keep yourself, I think a good test is the book reading test. Like, can you sit down and read a book and feel comfortable doing that? Or sit down and paint a picture and feel comfortable doing something that is slow and methodical and not stimulating in the same way that other stuff is. Like, if you can't do that, then it's likely a symptom of being hyper-stimulated by all this stuff. And so we have to figure out ways of living inside this world, but being able to throttle down and not become like hyper-stimulated like that.
It's funny that like you'll check the screen time on your phone, and let's say, you know, your screen time is at 6 hours a day.
Yeah.
So you realize that that's crazy. So you put your phone down, right? And then you go sit on the computer all day. But then you check your screen time on your phone and you think, oh, screen time, 1 hour. That's great. I'm amazing now. Well, what if we had a counter for screen time, like for the human, any screen? How much time do we spend staring at screens? I mean, phone plus computer plus TV plus other screens. You know, what if we added all of that up? Is that 11 hours out of a 12-hour day? I mean, how long do we spend staring at screens?
I can tell you today it's 7:20 where I am right now, and I went for a run. That was about 30 minutes. I've probably spent probably half an hour walking, maybe a little bit longer today. Outside of that, none of that time was away from a screen. Maybe I was in the kitchen for 20 minutes.
Yeah, so let's say my day wasn't much different.
Yeah. Like, it's not even worth counting up the screen time. I'm trying to count up the non-screen time, and it adds up to like an hour and a half, maybe. The rest has been in front of a screen.
The largest amount of time I went without a screen was one at lunch today. But other than that, it was a windshield.
Yeah.
Or that was the longest time. Lunch was shorter than that. So it was lunch, windshield for an hour driving to work, windshield an hour driving back home. I get home, I eat dinner or something, and then I'm back on the computer talking to you.
But also, like, that's life. I work on a screen. I don't have the option of not working on a screen. We're podcasting. I'm talking to you on a screen. That's the deal. I'm probably going to go either watch television or play games on a screen. Like, that's the deal. But
it's not all bad.
No, I know. I think with what you're talking about, the difference between a television on the wall versus the phone in your hand, there's some really important things that go on there. You know, if I sit with my e-reader that has an e-ink screen and I read a novel for an hour, I don't feel like that's a bad use of time. It's not terribly different than reading a physical book. Most people consider reading a physical book to be some great wholesome thing. You know, that like screen time, quote unquote, but I think it's great. Sitting down with my wife to watch a movie that we enjoy and talk about. Yeah. And, you know, like, it just, I don't object to pixels on a screen. It's what happens on those screens that I think is what really matters.
Yeah. I don't feel like what we're doing right now is all that toxic or horrible. Like, it's fine. But you just think about, I mean, I guess I'm talking about the negative side effects, which to me are still kind of a total mystery. I mean, there's, of course, the aspect of the screen and then whatever's behind it, which can vary very greatly, right? But imagine you raise a monkey, right? And the first thing you do for this monkey is give them a screen. And then, I don't know, you attach a screen to their face and you make them live their entire lives attached to a screen. And maybe if all you ever show, like, maybe you only show wonderful things, like lots of bananas and forests and stuff on the screen. It's still like, isn't that kind of like a little bit fucked up? Like, just a little bit. Yeah. You know? I don't know. I guess I'm thinking about that aspect of it is, and there's nothing we can do about it. The next tech is to just have it glued to our face all the time or inside of our brains. And I know that's, you know, that type of talk is getting a little old, probably especially coming from us. But it's just, I don't know, it just hit me as weird because this, I read this little meme or something. Wake up, look at little screen, go to work, look at medium screen, come home, look at big screen. And it's like, I want to be, you know, when I read that, I want to say, well, maybe you, but my life's way, you know, more interesting than that. And then I'm thinking about it and it's like, no, that's exactly... That's what I do.
You know,
that's
what,
us humans
though,
now.
So
I mean, maybe I shouldn't feel so disappointed in that. But
no, I hate to sound a little bit positive here because I know that's out of character, especially about what I'm about to say. One of the things that I think is really interesting about AI, these large language models, is that it has displaced a lot of my searching through an internet browser. There's a lot of things, a lot of questions or problems that I have that instead of opening up Google or DuckDuckGo and typing into a search engine and then trawling through the disgusting mess that the internet has become, I will type it into a text box, ask the AI model, and it gives me a response. And I'm just as concerned about AI as everyone else. I think it's crazy and freaky, and there's stuff that I'm really worried about along those lines. But to me, by and large, I vastly prefer that interaction than the internet searching. Because, again, with some problems set aside, it's relatively straightforward and honest. Like, the thing is just giving me the response to what I asked it to the best of its LLM ability. And there's really nothing about that that needs to even happen on a screen. We can do speech recognition now very easily. It obviously responds to natural language. And I'm getting this very linear text response that can be vocalized. You know, I've even set up things, and there's services that'll do this too. You know, OpenAI is experimenting with this, where you can just speak, talk to ChatGPT, and then it talks back to you. And talking in public is still pretty weird and not something most people want to do, me included. But it does feel like we have everything that's there to enable you to do a lot of what you do on a screen without a screen. Very often, I just want to find some information, and I have to use a screen to do that. But we are entering an era where that's not necessary. We'll see how practical it becomes to do it this way. But I'm pretty into that idea. I really love the idea of being able to just talk to something and get a response, and fingers crossed it doesn't just degrade into this disgusting hellscape of ads and crap. But the things that I hate about the internet are largely that there is so much competing for my attention and being manipulative, and or just me getting sucked into all these distracting things. I love the idea of just me saying something and getting a response back with with nothing else. So maybe we can actually start using screens a little bit less in the coming years. Yeah. I think that'd be great.
Yeah, I haven't really thought about that much. I mostly just like to focus on the negative things and complain.
Yeah, me too. Like I said, don't get me wrong. I'm still a very deeply negative person, but there is something about that I like the large language model AI thing. I've used it a lot because I do a lot of coding, obviously. So it's very effective there, as long as you're kind of using it for the right things. But I'm pretty happy with that. Like, I largely like how that feels. It feels a lot better than searching the internet. So yeah. I'm weirdly positive about that.
Well, I don't really know what my stance was or what point I was trying to make with all the screen stuff. I think I just wanted to point out the cool fact that if you sit in front of your couch and pull out your phone, it might be very close or the exact same size as your TV, which is just sort of interesting on its own.
Right.
And two, we spend a lot of time looking at screens, which for some reason just makes me unhappy. But at the same time, I can't totally tell you why that bothers me. I guess because I just love nature and I hate it when people say as this or as that. But as an artist, or as the type of artist that I am or strive to be, I really enjoy or find a lot of fulfillment in seeing real life things right in front of me versus looking at a photograph of it or through a screen. I just really prefer the real life interaction. I think most people prefer real life things. But I just have like this deep appreciation for the real life. And I was thinking about this on Sunday when I was doing the drawing outside. It just felt so natural and felt really good. And I really enjoyed just being outside drawing this thing rather than looking at reference photos and screens. It was just, it's refreshing. And it used to be the entire life of a human was spent outside feeling that way. And I just want more of that. And I don't know how to get it other than just complain about screens and hope something happens. But yeah, I don't know. I've just been thinking about that and being upset that my life is currently
working on a computer all day. I think there's a lot of us that are there.
Yeah, I know. And it's a
we've talked about it, but there's, you know, there's been this tech utopia curve where Silicon Valley was going to save the world and everybody was, you know, just wowed by how wonderful it was. And then it peaked and it's coming back down, where Silicon Valley and all these tech companies, they do not have the same people think about them very differently than they used to. We kind of hate them now. We think they're kind of disgusting. Yeah. And we haven't gotten out of it yet. We're still stuck in it and we're hating it, but we're not really sure what to do. But there's a lot of that feeling. I think it's becoming, it used to be people were starting to say this on little forums or super techie people were getting frustrated, but now it's mainstream. Now everybody, like that little meme or whatever you saw, that's people, that's the mainstream consciousness upset and complaining about this. And personally, I really want a future. I can kind of, I don't know if I could see it, but I can like feel a little bit of it where, you know what, maybe if we can get enough backlash going, where if the hive mind really does start to rebel against it, maybe we can kind of get technology stuffed into more of a box to where it does what we want from it and doesn't just control everything, and it's not just about more eyeballs and maximizing, you know, monthly active users and whatever for these companies. Like, I don't know exactly how we get there, but if everybody's starting to feel the same way and everyone's starting to want something else, I think that we might move that direction. I think it might be possible, at least to some degree.
See, whenever you say something like that, you're like, I hope for a future where this happens, I picture everything you just said playing on some like smashed up iPhone that's been discarded on some desolate street in an apocalyptic world where everything's just smoldering and burning or smoking, and it's just completely deserted, and then there's just this one smashed iPhone that's just playing you saying exactly what you just said. I dream of some future where we get technology under control, and then there's just like some sort of robot alien that just, you know, runs across the street growling and making scary noises, and it's ChatGPT running away. I don't know. That's just okay. That's what comes to mind.
I realize that maybe I'm going to sound like a total idiot in 10 years, but it's not unprecedented. You look at cable TV, and what's remarkable, so I have a, it's not technically cable, it's broadcast television, but it's roughly the same at this point. I have a TV antenna, and I have some software set up where I can browse the local listings and see what's on TV, and I can actually watch live television, which for me is wild, because as soon as I moved out of my parents' house, it was like, I'm not paying for TV, I'm not setting up television. Who would do that? We just watch Netflix and stuff like that. So going back to it now is a funny experience, because all of the shows that were on when I was a kid watching daytime television are still on. Literally the same stuff. It's still Murder, She Wrote and Seinfeld reruns and, you know, Family Feud, like all that stuff. It's the same thing. And the infomercials are exactly the same. It's take this medicine to help shrink your prostate and stuff like that. Like, it's just, it's the same. And the reason it's the same is because it got really big and everyone was into cable TV and television, all this stuff. And it got really crappy, where everything is just stupid and it's reality television and it's not good. And it's the same people watching it that used to watch it. The younger generation is like, no, we're not going to do cable television because it's gross and we don't want to, we're not into it. The younger generation does not do Facebook. Facebook is disgusting. It's for old people now. It's just this cesspool of garbage. And that's happening with everything. And I think it, at least for social media, yes, TikTok is very big, but Twitter is not doing well. It's not capturing the younger generation. Facebook certainly isn't. Instagram is starting to go, like, it's on the way out. It's following that same path. And largely, a lot of the younger generation just isn't really doing any of that anymore. Again, with the one exception of TikTok, largely, they're just moving to other, like, simpler platforms. They're just doing, you know, iMessage group chats and Discord and things like that. They're not doing as much social media. Social media is kind of collapsing. So that doesn't necessarily mean that everyone is getting away from screens and they're not, you know, wasting their life scrolling through random stuff, but some of these things are actually losing, they're not necessarily losing their user base. Like I said, the same people are still watching cable TV now as they were before, but they aren't capturing the younger generation, and obviously that puts them on a timer. You know, the people don't live forever. And so there is, I think, maybe not for our generation, but for younger generations, there does seem to be a bit of a rebellion against all of this. And it could be that they actually wind up in an okay spot where they become a bit anti, like they start to recognize how gross this is.
I hear what you're saying. And I think that the data, well, one, I'm not very in tune with the younger generation. Like,
well,
not much.
Well, neither am I, obviously.
Okay. But, yeah, okay, so we can both admit to that. But there's some data of that you're speaking of. The younger generation is, and our generation, is sick of Facebook, yeah, and Twitter's kind of dying, whatever, all that stuff. And it seems to be that social media is kind of dying, right? Which, on the surface level, like you just said, it seems to point towards a positive future, right? Maybe they don't want to. Maybe we all don't want to waste our lives on social media, right? Yep. But if you look at what's happening, I think, this is my theory anyway, and I've been seeing all kinds of posts, and I'm sure they've always been there, but it seems like even more now, so many creators and small creators, whatever, just constantly complaining about how Instagram is just, the algorithm's dead for smaller creators. Like, no one's engaging with their stuff. No one cares. I mean, I'm not getting much engagement either, but I blame myself for that. But everyone's just complaining about how there's no more engagement. Like, nothing's happening anywhere. And I see what they're saying, and I might be experiencing the same thing. So I get it, and I understand the frustration with it. But I think what's happening, this is just my theory, I don't know this for sure, but I think what's happening is that Instagram is, of course, trying to be more like TikTok, where it's just a constant feed of reels, just videos. So you open the app, you're watching videos, you just watch the videos. It used to be where people would, you know, and we all know this, but Instagram used to be a thing where you would post a photo, people you follow, or people that follow you would see that, comment on it, like it, interact, you know, like the good old social media days. You would interact. And actually, a lot of the reward from social media, period, Facebook, MySpace, all of that stuff, was the actual interaction from other people. You would see what other people are up to, and that's sort of your reward. People would comment on things. That's your reward. You know, the person you like says something or does something, posts a photo of the two of you together, whatever. That interaction was the thing that was rewarding to you. But more and more, we go towards the viral stuff, the constant the constant reward from the feed itself, just the reels or the TikToks, just all in a row.
Yeah.
And what happens is you don't need the interaction, period, which was arguably, it was both. It was good and it was sort of toxic because you get sort of obsessed with things. You care so much what people think, but you were also interacting with people in a good way sometimes, you know, on the MySpace and Facebooks and stuff like that. But now you don't need that anymore because all of the enjoyment comes from the feed, the constant scroll of TikTok and Instagram reels. Mm-hmm. So the engagement period across all platforms is dying. Because it's not as rewarding as just watching a constant feed of interesting things. So no one's getting interaction, but it's not necessarily, this is my theory, it's not necessarily because Instagram isn't pushing it anymore, or TikTok never pushed it, but it's not that the algorithm changed so much. Well, it did, but not in this way. It's not punishing creators. It's not steering people away from interacting with them. It's that no one is interacting. No one is taking the time to leave a comment because you don't need to do that anymore. You just sit there and scroll. You don't even need to follow people anymore because it will suggest people that you've already watched. There is no following anymore. There's no more commenting. There's hardly any liking. Like, it's just this constant feed of stuff. And so all the engagement everywhere on all platforms, you don't need any of it anymore. Because you're just satisfied with the constant feed.
Yeah.
So that, to me, is scary. It's not a positive future. It's a terrifying one. Because all the engagement is lost. All of the healthy, I wouldn't even call them healthy, but all of the interesting human aspects that used to exist in social media, which is what made it addictive in the first place, even those things that we used to complain about are disappearing, and even that's kind of sad. So that's...
I totally agree with your assessment. I think that is exactly what is happening, is that everything is trending towards TikTok in terms of model. But I don't see it as such a bad thing, because what I found pretty gross about a lot of these things was that Facebook, for example, I mean, it started out very simple in that you had a page. It was like WordPress. I mean, you made a web page. Yeah. That's what it did for you. It was this very, you know, procedural prescribed web page that you could set up very easily, and you're on the platform and it enabled discoverability, but it was a page. And so somebody could leave a comment on your page and you could respond to them. There was no liking. There was no, none of that. It was just this basic interaction model. It was it. You just interacted with people that you were friends with, period. No feed, no nothing. And it was great. That was like this end of the spectrum. And obviously a lot has changed, and they implemented algorithmic sorting and a voting system, and you know, that just has trended to the other direction ever since. TikTok is exactly what you're saying. It's this example of totally, or not totally, but close to passive consumption of content that is curated from everyone. Like, TikTok pulls from the entire world. It has an AI, a curation AI, that tries to figure out what is the most novel, engaging, interesting thing out of the pool of literally everything on the earth, show that to you, and learn what you like and don't like, and try to get even better at doing that, right? Totally passive. Nobody cares about who your friends are, or, you know, sharing something personal with other people. It's just like a very obscure, minor aspect of TikTok. So that's like the far end of it. And Facebook has had to, like, it is this race to try and get to that end of the spectrum. So it is cutting out as much of this stupid talk to real people crap as it can. It's trying to become this. And so is Instagram. It's trying to get rid of, or it's having to move away from the person-to-person interaction model and just get towards what TikTok has done, which is grab the most novel thing from the whole world, show it to you. So what's happening is, these platforms are racing towards this end because it's the most lucrative, you know, it has the most engagement, the most money. And then on the far other end of the spectrum, there has been this huge, unbelievable rise in popularity of Discord. And people are just using messaging platforms more. People use iMessage or WeChat or all of those things. Like, they're just using messaging platforms. Discord, I mean, they're trying to pack as much garbage into it as they can to justify their bajillion employees. So we'll probably see them turn to crap pretty soon. But up until now, at least, it's just a messaging platform. There is no algorithmic sorting. There is no voting system. There is no none of that. And people like that. We really like that. I mean, it burst through the barrier of being a gaming-focused platform. And now it's just literally everyone everywhere is on Discord. And I think it's awesome. Like, it's fantastic. If we still had that weird, uncanny valley of Facebook being kind of a social platform, but kind of a media consumption platform, you get this gross mix where everything is being, like, infiltrated by ads and bots and, like, weird algorithmic sorting. Like, I don't want any of that anywhere near my interactions with other people. I want to talk to a group of people and not have some voting system making certain things more visible than others and suppressing things or whatever. And somebody pays to have their comment, you know, risen higher in visibility. Like, just no, forget that. I don't want that anywhere near it. So the fact that the world has split into these two things, personally, I see as a good thing. Because now you know that this is crap and this is good. And the more time you spend in the good thing, the better. I mean, all else being equal. And the less time you spend in the bad thing, the better. And I don't, like, that's overly simplistic. I think there is, you can find good things on TikTok. It could be an okay place to find entertainment or interesting things. Obviously, it's very, very easy to misuse in the same way that it can be fun to go to the casino and gamble, but you have to recognize how powerfully addicting that can be. But still, like, to me, that's a better world than this gross mix of everything kind of shoved together.
All right. I didn't really think about that aspect of it.
It's like
interesting. Yeah. To see them split, you're right. Because I didn't really think about the rise of Discord, which is interesting in the world of all the big platforms.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wonder what, because it's difficult as a small creator right now trying to make content.
Yeah.
It's, you know, what do you want or what do you expect out of that? You know, you want interaction, you want connections and everything. But if that is very quickly dying, it's like, what do you, you know, you want to know what to expect or what to look for. I don't know. It's just interesting.
A lot of what I see now in terms of memes or videos or things like that, I mean, of course, I get some of that from these algorithmic feeds. You know, I'm still on YouTube. That's heavily curated and algorithmic. I much as I hate to admit it, occasionally still scroll through Reddit and things like that. So I do get some of that from there, but a lot of what I get and what I see is just from other people. People post it into a group chat or the memes channel or whatever, and that's where I see it. And if I think it's really great, maybe I choose to post it somewhere else. Like, it weirdly, we're kind of getting back to word of mouth for a lot of this stuff. And I don't exactly know how that plays out for you as a creator, but in a way it's great because it potentially can reward things that aren't just, you know, fulfilling the desires of an algorithm. Like, if you can make people really like what you're doing and connect with it, and you have to figure out how to find those people, I'm not saying that's easy, but if you can, then maybe you can actually get some traction that way in a way that's a lot more organic.
Nice. Wow, you've been so positive today.
I know, it's very out of character. Trust me, I'll come back next week with something really dark and awful.
I don't know. I kind of like it. But yeah, definitely don't stay this way.
What it is for me, it's like, sometimes you'll meet a person and they're like, they're real kind of cool and you don't really like them, but you're not really sure why. Like, maybe it's me. Maybe they actually are a really cool person. They're just kind of rubbing me the wrong way. And then one day they like have too many drinks and they start going off on some crazy, like, you know, anti-Semitic rant. And then you go, oh, they're a douchebag. They suck. And everyone else sees that they suck. And it's really satisfying. Mm-hmm. Societally, I think that's where we're at. It's like social media has been so bad, or not even just like bigger than social media, just the tech world, the online life has been bad for so long, but it's finally gotten to the point where everyone sees that it's bad. And we're all starting to hate it. And that's very satisfying to me.
I mean, I agree. But we are, well, proposing a solution is much more difficult than complaining about the problem.
Totally.
Like, completely. Because, you know, as social media grew and everything, all society and businesses and the way we do everything has been interwoven with it. And ripping those things apart is not really a possibility right now. So the way it's just that we all know it's bad, but there's also a lot of good in it too. You know, it's all weaved together and I don't know.
I have some faith in the younger generation. I actually think that it will be a bit of a generational thing. Like, the people who are addicted to Facebook are going to be addicted to Facebook until they die. But the younger people aren't on Facebook. They don't want to. It's gross. You know, they're never into it. And I think that it's a large time scale, but I actually think there are some positive trends in the way, like, things are going across generational gaps.
Well, a lot of people, through all generations, the tendency is to just blame the younger generation for all its problems. Like, just, sure, you guys are idiots, you don't understand the old ways, whatever. But I also don't really, like, when I look at TikTok, or even when I'm talking about the trends of pushing from engagement to just pure doom scroll, I'm not talking about the younger generation. What all of these algorithms do, and it's easy to point to the algorithms and say, you're evil because you do this. Like, TikTok is evil because they push, you know, they want you to be addicted and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. It's like, the only thing that's happening is that they're constructing an algorithm that perfectly imitates the human brain, or what the human brain wants. It's just a mirror. And that's it. What the algorithm pushes is what we watch. If you watch a video from beginning to end, the algorithm gives that a point. You just made that happen. It's the same with YouTube. It's the same with all of them. The algorithm is just a reflection of what we do.
Yeah, but
we make the things popular. And yes, it's evil to take advantage of that or to throw ads in between every single thing. And it's, I mean, you make addictive substances. It's the same thing. Like, you know, it's just a mirror of what the human brain wants or whatever. Like, obviously, all of these drugs are bad and also addicting. And yes, humans want them or whatever. But we are in, like, the technological... We're exploring this technological frontier of what's addicting on a computer or a phone. And we've never really been there before. We don't know what's criminal or what's totally wrong. Like, these... Like TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and all of these places, they are being the most successful at what the people have asked for. And yes, there's some evil minds involved, I'm sure, whatever, but I'm just saying it's so easy to call them evil and to blame everything on the algorithm, but really it's a reflection of what we are doing. And I don't know, this is a bigger thing than me just complaining about, I don't really care if people call TikTok evil. Like, sure, I guess it's evil. But, like, let's define exactly why. Let's understand what we're actually looking at. And let's, you know, and a lot of... I'm trying to spit everything out before you start talking.
Okay.
And, yes, there's all kinds of ads involved and whatever. But what I am more concerned about is a creator or artist or whatever, just watching these other creators... They complain so much about, oh, the algorithm hates me, or the algorithm doesn't support small artists, or it doesn't do this, or it doesn't do that. And there is some truth to that. I mean, the algorithm gets paid if it pushes bigger people, you know, with more ad money and whatever. So there's obviously some truth to that. But your videos, if you want them to do well, and I have to learn this myself. It's not like I'm some master of reels. I think the most views I have is like, maybe 1,000 views on one video. So I have no authority in this area, but from paying attention to it, it's like, if you want your videos to do well, people need to watch it from beginning to end. It needs to be entertaining or engaging in however, like, you're the creative one, you figure out how to make that work. And then the algorithm will push you. It will love you if you can make engaging videos. And I don't know. I know this spans a lot of different like topics and areas, but it's just sort of a... I'll just let you talk now.
I don't want to cut you off. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
I wish more creators would look more at their own content rather than just instantly blaming the algorithm. Because the algorithm is not that... For all these platforms, it's not that picky. If you have a good video, they want you to do well, really well. I mean, at the same time, I understand some of their frustration. One thing, and this is just a random rant, totally pisses me off, is that Instagram and TikTok are so... they're so touchy. Like, they're so sensitive. If you upload a video and then another video too quickly, they're like, whoa, you're a spam account, you're locked down. You can't do anything. And it's like, if I posted a video to TikTok and it auto-loaded some random, horrible, trendy song to it, and I was like, that's stupid. So I deleted it, and then I re-uploaded the video again.
Yeah.
And it locked the video. It was like, no, this is copyrighted content. I'm like, it's my copyrighted content, idiot. So I deleted that and then uploaded another version of the same video. I just like trimmed it on either side, totally fooled it. But it's so touchy. And with Instagram, oh my God, it's like it assumes you are a spam account unless you have years to prove that you're not. It's like that is extremely annoying. So I guess call that the algorithm. That's evil and I hate it. Like, just come on. I don't know. It's just, it's so sensitive. If you do anything wrong, it screws you over and then it won't tell you why. So for that, I hate you, Instagram and TikTok, but I don't know. Just please start talking.
You know, what's really funny about Instagram. Our sister has an Instagram account and someone made a fake account using, I can't remember if it was just her same name or a very similar name. I forget how Instagram works with handles, but they they made a very similar name, maybe the same, and then they took a bunch of photos off of her profile, just, you know, screen capped, whatever, and then uploaded a bunch of those to this profile. So they're impersonating her, and then they've started initiating direct messages with all of her friends. So I got a message from what appeared to be Eileen saying, hey, how's it going? Whatever. And I, you know, at first glance, wouldn't have even thought about it. Like, oh, it's kind of funny. She's messaging me through Instagram. We don't usually do that, but whatever. But my wife had warned me, like, hey, there's a fake Eileen account that's like, they direct message me. And so I reported them to Instagram, or she reported them to Instagram. And I see this, I'm like, whoa, wow, someone is actively trying. There's some kind of, you know, I don't know, catfishing thing or pig butchering scam, I don't know, but they're trying to like actively scam people by impersonating Eileen. So I reported that. And then she posted about this on her real account saying, hey, there's this fake account, it's not me, please report them. So lots of people reported this account to Facebook saying, look, they are impersonating Eileen. And guess what Instagram did about it? Absolutely nothing at all. They don't care. It's still there. Lots and lots of reports, impersonator, actively trying to scam people. Do not care. Still up. At least last time I checked Instagram, which was probably 6 months ago, but it's up for a very long time, at the very least. Because they like consumption accounts. Like, they do not care about bots that are engaging with other content and leaving likes and things like that. They want that. That inflates the numbers. That means that if you post something, it looks better, looks like you got more engagement on your post. What they don't want, what they care about, is the other end of that, which is they don't want anybody feeling like, you know, they're getting crappy content. If you're going to advertise on Instagram, you better be paying them, or it better be the kind of thing that people like. Like, they protect that end of the cycle very carefully. But the other end, even to the point of like actively trying to manipulate and scam people, they super, super don't care. So that's like a little bit of a tangential rant, but that, give that one point in the favor of them being evil. Like, they actively not care about that. Okay.
I will give them a point for being evil.
But here's the thing. Yes. Like, I don't care. They're, call them whatever you want. They're just, at this point, they're just a thing that exists. They're like a geological feature of the earth. It doesn't matter if they're evil or not. They just are what they are. What, again, to lean into the slightly positive thing, you were saying how, you know, the algorithms are just doing what you want. They're trying to give you the most novel thing. If you watch a video, it recognizes that and goes, oh, you watched this, you liked it, I'm going to show you more things that you are likely to also watch all the way through. I think of it like there's this robot that lives with you, and anytime you get like the slightest craving for a Twix, it like gives you a Twix. And then anytime you're like, man, I could really use a beer, it gives you a beer. And anytime like you have anything that you want, it's like, here you go, have it. You want some candy? Here's some candy. Here's a Starburst. Here's whatever you're craving right now. Like, oh, you want another one? Here you go. That's what it does. And so in a way, it's just fulfilling what we want. But we humans are able to think and reason and make decisions on different levels, where, compare it back to TV again. TV, cable television, it trended towards reality TV. Just this cheap, super bingeable, you know, can't stop watching, it's like watching a car wreck type of content, which is way less challenging than watching Law and Order or some show that's like formulated and, you know, scripted and emotional and intense. Like, it went this direction. And so everyone's like, oh man, I could just binge this all day and it's just on. But eventually people start to realize, hey, this is gross. Like, yeah, even though I want this, even though I'm like really sucked into it in the moment, ultimately you're like, this is kind of disgusting and I don't really want to do this anymore. And so you check out and then you're just gone. And I think that that is the kind of thing that happens when these platforms push all the way to that far end. Eventually you start to realize, like, hey, getting candy stuffed in my mouth 24/7 whenever I have any slight inkling that I want it, it's kind of disgusting, and I kind of want to get away from that. And again, if you're super addicted, it may not be easy to get away from it. You may not even be able to, but there is the younger generation, or at least other people saying, hey, I don't really want to dive into that at all. Like, you look at news, you know, CNN and MSNBC and Fox and like all these 24-hour news channels, and you see, I don't want to generalize too much, but it tends to be older people who kind of grew up watching TV, and it's sort of morphed to this point where it's just this constant consumption of this stuff. And as far as I can tell, younger people don't really watch that stuff, because you see that and you're like, I don't want to spend all my time watching CNN. It's gross. It's crap. I don't want to watch Fox all day. And so you just check out entirely. Like, there's this threshold that gets crossed, and it can cause a lot of people to just say, all right, just, I'm out entirely. And I think that these platforms are kind of getting there. Like, I'm starting to feel that way about YouTube. I talked about this last episode, more related to the health stuff, but really it's a global problem across YouTube and all these platforms. I've been in it for a while, been pretty sucked in, and then I start to come away from it thinking, I think I'm just done. I think I just don't really want to do this anymore. I don't want it in my life every day.
Okay. Couple things. Well, a lot of the things, I don't know if I'm going against myself in this own argument, but a lot of the things that are pushed tend to be the, the things that you're sick of, right? The trash that you speak. And you think the younger generation is getting tired of the trash.
Not even, well, just, I'm generalizing too much. Like, even me. I mean, we're all getting tired of it.
There's a couple things. One is that, I don't know, the stuff, the algorithm's gotten so good, right? Of course, we keep saying that, but what does that really mean? But it's that the robot that's giving you candy bars has learned that you can't just eat candy bars all day. So it also gives you an apple, or it makes you drink some water, or I don't know, it gives you different things, whatever it needs to do to keep you there or to keep the robot there. So TikTok will show you three super funny videos, and then you start feeling, oh, okay, I'm done with the funny stuff. And they'll throw in a super sad, meaningful, heartfelt video that makes you cry. And then they want to make you feel better, so they throw something else in there. Like, they're very good at mixing it up and showing you a big range of different stuff. Now, that in itself can feel kind of, because you're so focused on it and because it's so engaging and so, I don't even know, this, I'm sure it's very complex, but just staring at your phone and being so into it for 3 hours, that can feel like trash. But the actual algorithm, or the actual flow of content coming towards you, can vary in its trashiness or its in-depth meaningfulness. It can be very meaningful, and that's part of the reason why it's so addictive, is because it can throw very, I don't know, like, actually good content at you, and you can like it. So I don't know. I mean, we often say the constant scrolling is really bad, but there's actually a lot of good stuff in it. And I don't know. I mean, it's just hard to separate it out. And when you're saying, like, the younger generation, or we're all sick of it, or you're sick of YouTube in general. But then I think of all the really great things on YouTube and how amazing YouTube,
yeah, of course,
can be. Like, there's so much good stuff on there. So, there's also a lot of trash. Like, there's both. Maybe what we're getting sick of is the algorithm pushing the more trash stuff. Like, yep, only the stuff that you watch all the way through and that 25 million people have also watched. Maybe we don't always need to be pushed that content. Maybe we want a bit more of the smaller stuff, or the, you know, I don't know. I don't know if there was a point in there. I'm just,
I don't either. I mean, what you're saying is that there's some good things in there, and that maybe even the algorithm has sort of learning to balance out some of the trash with things that are a little bit deeper. But if that's the, I don't know. I'm kind of running out of my confidence in predicting really anything at this point. I mean, I feel like I see some trends that are weirdly encouraging, even though in some sense, like, things are getting worse, but just like with the douchebag at the bar analogy, in some ways I'm happy about that. Like, it's clearly bad. So I like that. But as far as how it evolves, I don't know. I mean, if TikTok, the algorithm starts to recognize that some people are checking out because they feel like it's, you know, consuming and wasting their time, and it starts to adapt and try and make things more fulfilling, that's a good thing. Maybe TikTok will end up being really fulfilling, or whatever comes along next will be able to take those things into account more. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
And clearly AI, which is powering all of this stuff, is evolving pretty quickly. And I don't know what to expect from it, but there are some really positive things about it. So I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of negative things too. I think eventually, you know, if we're going to start predicting the future, I think eventually the AI is just going to cancel all of the creators on all of these things. And it'll just be your AI video feed, and it'll just give you stuff. And you don't know if it's real or not, but you no longer care. And it's just one feed built just for you. And it responds to your brain chemicals and what's going on in your head and whatever. And just
look,
feed in your brain or something. Maybe. You know, and then there's no more need to create anything. The AI's got you covered, and everything's taken care of. Don't worry about it. And then all of this stuff just shuts down, and we plug in to the wall, and then I don't know.
Maybe. But look, let me say this. We've sat with generative image AI for quite a while now. It's been over a year. And you said this very early, and this has been totally the case. If I'm scrolling through images and I see something and it looks interesting, and then I realize that it's an AI photo, I'm like, get out of here. Don't care. If someone tells me, like, hey, check out this photo that I drew or that I created with Stable Diffusion, I'm like, don't. I'm not even going to waste the bytes of my data plan on that crap. I don't want to see it. I just don't care. It's not, if there's no human behind it, if it's just a machine making it, I just don't care at all. Like, it's fun for me to play around with and play around with other people. Like, hey, let's do stupid things with the generative AI. Like, that's fun. But like, beyond that, just forget it. So maybe it evolves to the point where you genuinely can't tell, and it's wired directly into your brain where it's wherever you want to see. But just so far, it is not that at all. I do not care about your stupid AI art.
Okay. I was actually kind of being sarcastic a little bit, because I've also kind of noticed that trend a little bit, and maybe it's actually fake and it's AI creating this to make me think it.
Who knows?
But I've noticed just a lack of interest in AI stuff. Like, people will be so proud to post what they made, and nobody really seems to care.
Right.
And I would not be pursuing the traditional art of all things right now if I didn't actually believe that people really care about human craft. Like, people care about humans. So I was being a little sarcastic when I'm saying that you're just going to have AI feed. Although that is a thing.
I think there's plenty of concern there.
Yeah. I have no idea what's happening in the future. Yep. Or if there is a future. I don't know. It'll be interesting. But I'm going to keep making art, and you're going to keep programming stuff. No one's replaced us yet.
And I'm just going to kind of roll with that.
Could happen tomorrow.
Sure.
But yeah, it'll be interesting. But okay, we can end it there.
All right. Guess we'll see.